Patriots Day is both a solemn day of remembrance and a time of fizzy celebration. Long a state holiday in Massachusetts, it marks the annual commemoration of the battles of Lexington and Concord, the shots heard round the world that started the Revolutionary War and established a template for what would become the greatest democracy and strongest military power the world has ever known. These beginnings of American freedom are marked by folks dressed in tri-cornered hats, carrying muskets, and reenacting the battles that every school child is familiar with. A town crier rides a horse through the city to remind citizens of Paul Revere's ride. The Cradle of Liberty sprouted another grand civic celebration, one that's anticipated by many more revelers than the patriotic 18th century rhetoric of the Revolution. The modern Patriots' Day is less about the nation's birthplace and more about modern, multicultural Boston, New England's oldest, largest, and most important city. The day begins just after dawn in suburban Hopkinton as runners line up for the marathon, one of the world's iconic road races. At 11 a.m., the reigning World Series champion Boston Red Sox will play the Baltimore Orioles in the only Major League Baseball game all season that starts in the morning. Next week is the 118th running of the marathon, and like its host city, it is marinated in history. As is century-old Fenway Park, home of the Red Sox, located along David Ortiz's home run from the marathon finish line. Few days in New England are awaited, like this unofficial first day of spring. In this season of Easter and Passover, of daffodils and renewal, Patriots Day and the Hub is a melange of respect for the past and hope for the future. This oldest of great American cities is today a young place with more college students than any other metropolis. Students line the streets from the women of Wellesley College, handing parched runners bottles of water to the beery Boston College and Boston University undergrads, cheering as they approach the finish line in the Back Bay. The innocence of all this was shattered 1 year ago when bombs blew up near the finish line, a dagger to Boston's heart. Three were left dead and hundreds wounded. The shock and rage continued for several days as the alleged bombers were hunted down. One died in the police pursuit, the other was captured and is in prison awaiting trial for murder and terrorism. What did we learn from this senseless, random murder of innocents? We found out that New Englanders, like New Yorkers after 9/11, are resilient. Many more would have died but for the heroics of the police and firefighters who provided first aid and brought victims to the city's hospitals, where doctors and nurses were able to save the lives of everyone who arrived alive. Millions of dollars were raised to help victims and their family. Police and federal agents work without sleep in a locked-down city to track down the murderers. Ortiz, he of the piano key smile and home run bat, spoke for many when he dropped his imperishable, televised expletive, telling all not to mess with our city. Heather Abbott, the Newport woman who lost part of her leg in the bombing, spoke for many when a month after the bombing she hobbled out of a rehabilitation hospital the morning of Rhode Island Day at Fenway Park. There were few dry eyes when she went to the pitcher's mound that afternoon and tossed the ceremonial first pitch to home plate. 3 days after the bombings, President Obama spoke movingly at the Interfaith Service at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross. The president said, "This time next year, on the third Monday in April, the world will return to this great American city to run harder than ever and cheer even louder for the 118th Boston Marathon. As we remember last year's victims, let us hope that the president's sentiments rule the day Monday."